Welcome to this episode of Record or Change. I'm here with Matthias, and we have an episode that we're really excited about. It's regarding teaching, and this is something near and dear to me, and I'm excited to discuss our premise for why this episode is coming up and how we've learned through our two interviewees a little bit more about the context of teaching that they're dealing with. So they're very similar in their background. We have two female teachers around the same age in two different countries, and they both work with students with special needs. And it's a really interesting breakdown of how teachers are faring through and how their students are navigating the pandemic as well. So, hey, Matthias.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm very much looking forward to this episode, especially because I'm not in a teaching field. I have gained some little teaching experience, but I have really great appreciation and admiration for teachers that cope with the many needs and desires and demands and moods of students. And yeah, and especially during this time, I think that's what brought us together here, this interest of how did this pandemic actually change teaching in all its levels, right?
So what about this particular topic is something that really, really draws you in?
I would say it's two things, and I know both of our interviewees are going to talk about it. One is the responsibilities that teachers have. I mean, as a parent, you give your kids into the hands of this institution called school. So this is a huge responsibility. And I think this responsibility was, what's the right word? Was it undermined? Was it challenged by the pandemic? So I would say this is the one thing. And the other thing, maybe when I look back to my high school times, especially, I might have not noticed, but looking back, I really know how important it was to be there, to have peers that could be friends, that could be people I really didn't like. And both is important, right? To build up your personality and also have challenges with teachers and the institution and so on. But it's really, really important for personality building. So I was really wondering, how did this happen now while students were in front of their computers? How about you?
I feel like I'm in it a little bit. Not maybe, I do think that school teachers have a whole different level of responsibility for the people that they work with. I work with adults, so it's a bit different. But I think seeing a new wave of a student mental health crisis, how much my own students, who are, again, all adults, how much they're struggling with things, and also what it's doing to my colleagues, so my fellow educators, my fellow teachers, in terms of how heavy this time has been, not just in terms of shifting gears, but for people that have young kids having to navigate Zoom classrooms and having to teach their own kids at the same time that they used to depend on the school, and having to play both parts where they're being teacher and mom or dad at the same time. So it's, I have a lot of empathy for what educators have gone through during this time. So I think it's really important that we highlight some stories and get to hear some international perspectives. But before we get there, emphasis on the international, we're going to hear from an interviewee who is from Germany. So can you tell us a little bit more about maybe just a preface of the education system?
Right. To make it very, very simple, we have two stages of school, I would say, in Germany. We have primary school, which it's 4 years, so grade one until four. And then after primary school, starting from grade five, which is when you are around 10, 11 years old, for at least another 6 years, including grade 10, and depending on what certificate you want to get, grade 13, you go to high school. And now we're going to hear Kirsten. She's a teacher in Hamburg, and she's teaching at a school which is still a little bit special in Germany, this kind of system. They have an integrative approach, which means they don't separate students with special needs, so just put them together and let them learn together. So, shall we listen to Kirsten?
I'm Kirsten, and I work as a teacher. And I work in a very big school, and my work is focused on kids with special needs, meaning kids that lack social skills, for example, or slow learners. But there are many more, and I, of course, feel responsible for them as well.
And it's a high school, right?
It's a high school. We start at the age of 10.
And if you could sum up, why did you become a teacher and what do you like about it?
I'm inspired very much by the writer Astrid Lindgren. I've always loved her very much. And she had a way of looking on childhood that always impressed me. And I think that childhood is a very special part of your life. And I would like to contribute to beautiful childhoods. And drawing the big picture, it's my way of nourishing world peace, you know, to support
yes.
the life of children in my way. And I think I would say that I'm not a teacher, but that teaching is my way of getting in contact with kids. I'm not very interested in teaching them English, you know. This is just the means to show them about learning and teach them about building relationships and so on.
Very interesting to talk to a teacher who says, I'm actually not a teacher. So what are your subjects that you teach and how old are your students?
I studied English and German and I teach English at the moment, but I also pupils in small settings and then I help them do math or German or whatever they work on. So I'm rather flexible and not stuck to my subjects. And my students at the moment are 13. I met them when they were 10 and I worked with them since then.
Since we have an international audience, can you elaborate a bit on this? Yeah, in German, it's very common. Everyone knows what is integrative concept, maybe for those who don't know, that you have a special role as a teacher or as a non-teacher in a teaching system. Can you elaborate a bit on this?
So a couple of decades ago, it was regular that students who had special needs would go to different schools. But for 10, 15 years now, school systems are trying to be more integrative. So everybody can go to the same schools in their neighborhoods and special education teachers work at these schools as well. And our role is to look after these special kids and bring our expertise into the classroom. And for me, it mainly is relationship building, because that often is what they need to open up to learning processes. They often lack safety, like inner safety, you know, and stability and trust in their own abilities. So that's what they mostly need. And that's what I do. So I visit a lot of classrooms each day and a lot of different kids and try to see what they need today.
Now, talking of relationships, it's now 2 years that the pandemic hit and changed everything, all our lives, and especially those of teachers, because you have a relationship with the students. The students have it among themselves. So now looking back at the past 2 years, what was the biggest change for you in your daily work?
For me, the biggest change was not having to get up and go to school and be there and be awake at 8 in the morning. So I enjoyed that we had much more flexibility. Usually school is not very flexible. It has a very strict time schedule and everybody has to stick to it, no matter how today is for them. So I like that a lot. And at the beginning, it was very different. Because at first we had to find ways to get in contact with everybody and we didn't have any plans or any softwares or platforms to meet on. So my first couple of weeks in the pandemic were trying to get to them.
How did you do that?
I phoned families, I phoned kids. I had lots of phone numbers in my phone suddenly. Some of them I met on Zoom. Some of them wrote emails to me. But it took some time until we had a platform that our school used, until everybody could be there at the same time. And then we developed a kind of online lesson learning, which was different, but much more similar to regular teaching than the thing we had before, that very contact-based, telephone-based, interviewing them. What are you doing today? What are you planning to do? So then we could spend time together during online lessons again with groups of people. After a while, I think that was in the first lockdown, which started in March, I think. For some kids, the online thing structure that we could offer them wasn't enough anymore. So we started inviting some people to go back to school and be there in small groups. And I also went back to school, which made me very happy. And that taught me that it's so nice when schools try to find individual ways of meeting their students or meeting the needs of their students, because everybody is so different and there is no right way. And as I said, for some, being at home was totally fine. We didn't have to worry about them. And for some, being at home was hell. And they started getting depressed after a while and putting on weight and so on, and getting back into a rhythm of getting up in the morning, going somewhere, being with others was super healthy for them.
Still talking about relationships, we had different experiences of physicality, of intimacy, of friendships, of how to maintain any sort of relationships. Now, when you look back to the past 2 years and what your pupils have been through, how would you describe that in terms of relationships?
Of course, they lacked contact with each other. And I think a very, very big part of education at this age is learning to be with others and finding your own ways, getting in contact in a nice way with people. They build their own circles of friends or chosen families, and they need to be with people for that, you know. But they found ways. For example, after lessons, they would stay in the video call and spend their lunch break with each other and doing what they'd do in school too, listening to music, talking, showing each other bits of videos and so on. So they found creative ways of spending time with each other. And I think I, for my part, was very happy that I had built up relationships with my kids before the pandemic hit, especially with those who are special and very reluctant and sometimes timid to get into contact with grown-ups and teachers and other people in general. So I had a basis that I could rely on. And I think everyone was suddenly very aware that having physical contact, being allowed to be with each other, is a privilege. And they developed gratitude towards classrooms, and they realized that they were privileged. And that's a nice spirit that I still feel when we are in school. There are things we are missing, and maybe we forgot about them. And I think they make learning processes special and school special, which is something like going on trips or to museums or to the cinema. This is possible, of course, but it's difficult to organize, and you have to make sure that everybody feels okay with it. And there are some teachers who are reluctant to do it. And so there is a big part of like mingling with the world that we're looking forward to pick up again.
So have there been any major takeaways?
Obviously, we all developed our digital skills a lot, which is really nice. And everybody is more independent from their parents, for example. So I can write them emails and they actually read them. Before, that was not normal until they were 16 or something like that. If you didn't have their phone number and could send them messages via WhatsApp. So this is nice. In some parts of school, there is more structure, which is nice as well. For example, in our school restaurant, we have lines now and they are not boxing each other anymore and and fighting for the first place in the row. This is nice too. And for me and my class, I think we started living in the moment because of that unsure future that we got used to. Mm-hmm. We now try to make most of the flow of today. Mm-hmm. For example, last week we had sunshine after days and days and days of gray sky and rain. Mm-hmm. And they asked me if we could go outside and go for a walk. And we did that because I knew they were gray days ahead. And for me, the importance of health and movement and leisure and fun is very apparent and more than before. So I feel more free to make these decisions and put them before regular lessons.
Are there any suggestions, advices you would have given the next generation?
One thing is, don't be afraid to work with parents. Before, their homes were very far away from my work. And mostly we only heard from parents in difficult situations, or we contacted them in difficult situations. But now I was able to peek into their families and into their homes, and 99% of parents did their very best to support their children with their means. And I realized about their homes being sometimes so different from what I experienced as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know more about their homes, but not only when problems come up, but on a regular basis, you know, and welcome parents, but also ask for groups of people to maybe visit homes and see their lives. That's a thing I would like to not forget. And I think from the perspective of parents, teachers got more humane because they saw their laundry racks in the back of their videos, you know, or kids were peeking into the picture and things like that. That was nice. One other thing I realized was that, you know, there are some families or some kids who have many, many options, many, many ways of meeting their needs. For example, their need of company. They meet that at school. And they meet it in the neighborhood and with their families, with brothers and sisters. And some only have school. School for eating healthy. They only have school for exercising regularly. They only have school for learning and so on. These kids are very dependent on what we give them. And it was interesting to see that. And I would like to not be the only institution responsible for all those needs. And I would like to encourage our society to give kids more ways of meeting their needs or to build their network, you know? Because when school closed down, they missed so many things and they didn't have alternatives. And their parents often didn't have any ideas how to do that now. And that's really hard for some families, I think. And, you know, they're not owning their lives. They only have the institutions that force their kids to move and to eat healthy and to learn. But they're not owning their situation. And maybe some got motivated to do that now when schools close down.
it feels very warm what you're saying. And also for me, looking back, I never saw the human aspect and I never saw what privileges we had and didn't have. So I will keep this in mind once my kids go to school.
So we listened to Kirsten. Stephanie, what was the biggest highlight for you of these stories?
I love the fact that she mentioned that she doesn't even see herself as a teacher in a way, that the role is almost secondary, that she just wants that relationship with the kids. And I think that that's kind of what you're speaking to, in the sense that her level of caring and the depth of how she approaches her students really resonates through. And that is something that I saw reflected in how she identified herself.
Yes,
so
yes.
Not by the role of teaching English, but teaching English is a way that I get to have this relationship with the kids and I get to have this kind of fun with them throughout the day.
Yes. And the way she said it was like, this is my way to contribute to a better world.
It's funny, as someone who has some students that want to be educators in some form, I feel like I deal with a lot of hopeful, what they call kind of bright-eyed students that are thinking of teaching as such an inspiring career, but it's hard. It's very hard. And I feel like moments like the pandemic really emphasize the strength that teachers need in order to be resilient for everyone else in the room. And I think Kirsten's story, just when you hear it, you're thinking, what did you go through as an individual? I was thinking that she did so much for her students. And I think it's just awe-inspiring that you have someone who is able to weather all of that and to learn, as she was saying, like, we all had to learn technology, all had to do all of these things. But to wear through all of that and still have such a positive attitude towards her teaching and feeling so good about it. So I hope that the students that I work with that want to be teachers get a career that they get to live that out.
And really a big takeaway would be to remember, once I face teachers of my kids, for example, to be patient with them and to remember this human aspect. I would try to remember this.
Yeah. Yes. And hopefully other parents are listening as well and hearing that.
Yeah.
So we also have a second interviewee. Meredith is someone who, as I said before, has somewhat of a similar position to what Kirsten has, but maybe a different manifestation of how the pandemic has impacted the work. And as Meredith kind of informs it, some of the challenges that she's been facing haven't been with the students. In fact, she's felt very good about the students, but how school leaders have an impact in terms of how they allocate resources to teachers, how they shift things over time.
So before we start listening to Meredith, can you give us an idea of what's the school system like, especially the one that Meredith is acting in?
Yes. And I think it's interesting that Meredith kind of spanned two different levels in her teaching in recent times. So during the pandemic, she was responsible for working with a wide span of ages. That's somewhat unusual for someone in the States. Usually someone is certified in a particular stage, whether it's elementary school, a middle school, or junior school, which is grades six through eight, or seven through eight, depending on the school. And then high school tends to be grades 9 through 12. And usually students go straight through and they'll go to different schools and they'll see different segments of teachers. And our teachers are certified by the state, and most teachers will specialize in one, kind of either the younger ages or the older ages. But Meredith is in a spot where she is certified across the board, and she also is someone that is special education certified. So she, at the beginning of the pandemic, was working with folks that were of special needs, and then she transitioned recently into a job where she's working with all students across the board.
Okay, so let's jump in.
Meredith, thank you so much for joining us here today. I'm really excited to meet you and to learn a little bit about your experiences of teaching during the pandemic. So first of all, how did the pandemic change your relationship or bond between you and your students? I feel like this is something a lot of us who teach experience during this time.
So this is really loaded for me. It's not a simple answer, because my career changed when the pandemic happened. I was an art teacher for 11 years in my district. And then we were home. And when I was home, I was remote as an art teacher. So I had very little interaction with the students. They weren't really doing much with art. I was joining them with other classes. So there really wasn't much engagement with families other than, you know, hanging out with them on the computer. That's it. And I also like did lessons online, which a lot of students didn't participate in. But when the following school year began, right before the school year started, they took away the art program for my students because of the pandemic. Like, this is when everybody was back in person again. And then they made me a classroom teacher. So that had a huge impact on my relationship with students in general, because I was not used to doing it. But it changed in a lot of ways, because I wasn't used to interacting with families as a classroom teacher in general. And a lot of times classroom teachers are much more involved with students, especially since my ratio was 6 students to 1 teacher. But I definitely got to know all of the families. I got to know all their siblings. I got to know their siblings' names. I got to spend time with them every day. And it was really nice having that relationship with parents I wouldn't have had otherwise. I knew what was going on in their households. I knew everything about everyone. And it was nice. They felt like family.
It sounds like that was positive. And so the pandemic actually brought out a shift that ended up being somewhat positive, but did you miss your teaching? It sounded like you were doing art beforehand, and now you were a classroom teacher that's doing maybe more general subjects. How did you feel about needing to do that shift?
So the shift, I've had a lot of shifts lately. That shift was really difficult because I'd always been an art teacher, always only wanted to be an art teacher, never wanted to be a classroom teacher. But because I'm special ed certified, it made it an easy segue for them to have another teacher on staff during the pandemic when everything's going on. So I was really sad to have lost it. And I think that that relationship I had with families is more of a rarity and not a common thing, because the classes that I had this year, I since left my job because of all the movement and not being an art teacher. But the classes that I had after that, it wasn't the same way at all. Like, I would call parents and they wouldn't answer. I'd send emails, they don't answer, respond. So I was used to seeing families every day. Then I wasn't having any contact with families and had a lot of difficulty reaching parents.
So to get some clarity, it sounds like earlier in 2020, so say maybe the spring semester onto when the school year ended, you were online.
Yeah.
And then was it the whole next academic year that you were in person with your students?
Yeah. There were a few weeks here and there that we were brought home, but because my district is a special needs district, we were in person much more than other districts would have been. So we were in person almost the whole year, except a few weeks here and there when case numbers were high. I mean, right now I ended up moving, and right now I'm teaching regular education high school.
So how did the pandemic change your understanding of your students and their backgrounds and their home context? Because I'm assuming as a teacher, you got more exposure to what their home life was like potentially during the pandemic. How did it change you as a teacher or your perceptions of teaching these students?
One of the families I was teaching, there's several families that lived in one household, Spanish-speaking household. They were really concerned about COVID. They didn't speak English well, but we had developed a relationship and a rapport. I love them. I still love them. They had gotten COVID earlier on in the pandemic, and they had been really concerned, and I know they had been really careful, and they weren't doing anything, but they still had to go to work, whatever, and somehow they got COVID. And I know they're low income. I know there's several households. And then they ended up going to the hospital because his mom, the mom of the student I teach, couldn't breathe. And they told me the hospital just sent them away and didn't really even see them and didn't give them any medicine or anything. So I was reaching out to social workers and this, that, and the other thing, and making contacts with people to find a way for his mom to be seen medically, like, which is not anything in my realm of my career, but like, this woman who speaks no English, she's going in by herself. The hospitals are packed. There's COVID. There's so many rules. They wouldn't let anybody come in with her. She speaks zero English and she couldn't breathe and she was sent home. So, and then the parent like was contacting me right away, like the father, and trying to talk to me, trying to get help. And I'm, you know, just a teacher. So, I mean, I did whatever I could. I ended up contacting a hospital and talking to them to see if they had an interpreter that could help. It was a whole thing. And then I ended up sending them groceries too, because I knew they had, we had a we had a pickup for food every week. And I know that they were picking up food at the school every week, and they couldn't pick up the food because they couldn't drive because of COVID. So I sent them an order through Walmart. And at first I asked the principal, is there an issue? Can I just do this? I wanted to just get food from the food pantry at work and drop it off. And they said I wasn't legally allowed to do that. So I had to do a Walmart order online and have it dropped off at the doorstep.
Wow. Is that something that you had experienced before the pandemic in terms of that level of knowing what's happening in students' home lives?
I'm a star teacher. You know, I knew a handful of parents and I loved them. I wasn't calling hospitals trying to make sure my freaking kid's parent had an interpreter to be seen. That's no teacher ever imagined doing that. Ever.
Thank you for doing that. I feel like that's a level of commitment and responsibility to your students beyond, I think, what a lot of people might have considered their responsibility.
I don't know. I mean, you say that, but how can you be in a situation like that and know what their problems are and know that they're struggling and not just want to do anything to help them? They're good people. I felt like I wasn't doing enough at the time, too.
How were you able to reach all students? Because I know that it sounds like you were working with students with different levels of special needs. Can you talk about how that was? Did anything shift for you during the pandemic time of trying to reach all of your students?
Of my class of six, all of them did the Google Meets and participated in all of the lessons every day. And I tried to make it fun for them, but you know, obviously they're not going to learn nearly as much as they would in person.
Is there anything that shifted about your teaching quality or you as a teacher and how you think about your quality outputs?
So it's hard for me because I went from doing the same thing for a very, very, very long time to a completely different job, different career. And then my classroom had switched a bunch of times this year in the special needs realm. And then now I'm a regular ed art teacher. So I've basically done six different jobs since the pandemic started, or worked in six different classrooms. And I had been in the same classroom the entire time prior to that. I think anytime there's a shift in what you're doing, you change how you do it. It's so different for me personally than talking to other teachers because of everything that I've been through. It has changed, but I think every time you move, every time you change, every time you grow. The high school classroom I'm in right now, I sit and talk with the students while they're working every day. One of the students who's really difficult was sitting with me. He chose to sit with me. He said something like, oh, I know you like us. And I was like, I wouldn't go that far. And he was like, no, you do like us. You're the first person to get to know us and talk to us that's been in the room. That's so important for them to be seen and be heard right now, not just about art, but about what's going on in their lives. And they like to be involved in my life and find out things about me too. But I think that's important as far as socialization is and letting them feel like they're people. Several students have talked to me, suicide attempts, not recently. And I think that the reason they're sharing that with me is because they just want to be seen and they want to be heard. And when they were stuck at home for so long, they're not seen or heard. And they're also one of 27 kids in every class. That's a hard question for me because obviously everything I'm doing right now is different. And I don't know how I would be if I were in the same situation I had been in for all those years, you know, if I wasn't moved 100 times.
Well, I guess this leads into a different question about students. What changes have you seen in your students since the pandemic started?
There were issues in special services more with delays, with students that weren't getting therapies and things that they need, services that they needed that they just couldn't get because of the pandemic and everything going on. And then for my placement right now, I can speak to that, in that I know what I've been told, but I wasn't necessarily the one to see it. My high school students right now in general are very stuck to their devices and very in themselves. And I was told that it got much, much worse when they came back from the pandemic because they had all that time by themselves. Now they're just so used to being by themselves. I noticed when I come in to observe the classroom I'm in right now, in the morning, the room was silent. It's not that way in the afternoon, but in the morning, the room was silent. Nobody was talking. And I said to the vice principal or principal that was walking around with me, I was like, what is going on? Why is it silent? And she's like, when we came back from the pandemic, the cafeterias, which are always booming and bustling and it's loud and you can't hear anything. She said they were silent. The kids were silent when they came back from the pandemic, but they didn't know how to talk to each other. And she said, right now they're starting to learn how to talk to each other and be more present and walk away from their devices a little bit.
especially since you have had so many shifts in what you've been expected to do as a teacher over this time, 6 times having to shift different classrooms, different expectations, different roles, and different schools at this point. What are some of the things that you've felt have impacted how you view your job?
When I left my job, I was really unhappy because I was moved 4 times and I wasn't in my field. Having gone through the pandemic has really shown me what's important and what's not. And I was no longer willing to go to work and be unhappy doing what I don't want to do. So I took a $30,000 pay cut to go somewhere and be happy. I guess I'm in a good situation that I can say that, but I'm not going to settle for being unhappy at work anymore. Like for most of my career, I was really, really happy. And then when all the changes happened, it was really weighing heavily on me and I was doing something I didn't want to do. And I would have just kept doing it, but it just really was draining on me. So I no longer feel like I want to stay somewhere if I'm not happy. So that's my plan.
What were some of your biggest takeaways from this pandemic time as a teacher?
This goes for all student populations. They just need to be seen. They need to be heard and they need to be loved. And that needs to be their first priority. And then educating them and teaching them and making sure they have the core content standards and that they're meeting all of their goals is secondary.
Yeah, I can especially see that student well-being is something that we really do need to focus on and highlight a lot more because it's something that I think for so many years we haven't needed to grapple with, or it was a case or two. And now it's universal and somewhat ubiquitous between all the students that there's a collective trauma that students have experienced to different levels, whether it's being isolated from friends or whether it's having loss in the family. It's hard on a lot of people for different reasons. So I think that's insightful.
Yeah. These kids have been through so much and they've been so alone. You know, they're struggling with it. And that's just what I'm picking up from high school and the special ed kids too. And my own kids, like they don't know how to exist in the world right now. You know, everybody's just relearning it. And who knows what's going to come next and what the pandemic's going to bring, what new variant, what we're going to have to do. And it's hard on everybody. And there's also a lot of losses with the pandemic as far as academics go and goal meeting goes. And not only did they not meet their goals, but several of them regressed. Mm-hmm. So I would take their goal instead of advancing it like normal, I would scale back a little bit because they weren't doing what they had originally been doing.
Meredith, presumably we have some teachers that might be listening or aspiring teachers or people that want to be educators, what would you say you would recommend to anybody who's considering this pathway or someone that's continuing on this pathway in the
run!
Post-pandemic time?
Run!
Why run?
I don't mean that. I heard something on NPR today saying that they're really having a hard time because teachers are literally leaving the career left and right, and then there's teaching shortages.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, this has been on me, so hard on me emotionally, on my career, on everything, being a teacher during the pandemic. It really, like, my whole life flipped upside down. And if I didn't have any more drive than I do, I wouldn't have made it through. I don't know how I would have done if I had stayed the whole year in the district I was in because I could not do it anymore. I needed help. I needed to get out. I was not okay. I had so many changes and there was just staffing changes and everything else. I had no consistency. And going from the same program in the same room for like 11 years and then going from room to room and staff to staff and things switching. And so it just made the job really, really, really difficult. And I couldn't do it anymore. And I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. I wanted to do art. I'm much happier doing art, but I would definitely really think long and hard about becoming a teacher right now and get as much information as you can, talk to as many people as you can to know what it's really like. A really good friend of mine quit teaching entirely right now during the pandemic because she just couldn't do it anymore.
So how could a teacher potentially aspire to have that balance during this time? Is there anything that you do personally or any recommendations that you have for anybody to figure out how to create this balance as not to become overwhelmed?
Yeah. So a big one is not to take any work home with you. And by not, like, I don't mean not work out outside of work hours, but if you're going to do extra work, stay in the building late. Don't take it home with you. I really think that that's the best thing. It's just to have your home life and your work life. And also, I always have a hobby going at home that brings me joy personally. And also, like, find joy in your teaching. I mean, teaching is awesome, but remember to find that joy. Don't let yourself get sucked into all of the politics and everything else and all of the negativity. Just play. I have plans for my high school, my regular ed high school kids that are too cool for life. I am bringing in some special ed lessons on Fridays just to make them like fun Fridays, just so that I can play with the kids and they can enjoy life. Although they're going to hate me while they do it, but I'm going to love it.
But they'll know that you care, and that's what matters. Merida, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your perspectives of teaching during the pandemic. Okay, so we just heard Meredith's story and a little bit about her perspectives. So, Matthias, what were some of your impressions from the story? What stood out to you?
So I was very happy actually to hear the similar aspects, and especially in terms of, I heard now two teachers who are really into what they are doing and they really do it for the good. And then I know it's not at the core of the story, but to me it was really touching, the story of the family who couldn't get the mother with COVID into the hospital just because of a language barrier. And then she helped them, even though she was only the teacher. She would not have had to do that, and sent them some grocery bags. I think from my European German perspective, it gave me an idea of how difficult economic situations can be in the US, especially in the health system. You hear a little question mark because I'm really not very, very familiar with, but it opened this topic to me that maybe we should elaborate on in a different topic.
Yeah. I mean, that could be eight episodes. Yes.
Right. So season 7 is on health systems.
just the US health system and why it is as it is.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So it struck me again of, yeah, it's reality that not everyone can just go to the hospital.
And I know some of what the individual is probably experiencing was part of the COVID environment here in the States. I feel like oftentimes our media is saying how full the emergency rooms are during different periods of time, just to emphasize to people to take some of the masking and distancing regulations seriously.
And then I really like the story of the kid who progressed in reading, because apparently the mother didn't do everything in the right way, but she brought a kid to the library and the kid progressed in reading. And this is such a gift as well. No?
Yeah. And even though that was an anomaly in her classroom or something that was a little less common, I think it also goes to show that some parents actually were able to reconnect with their kids during the pandemic and realize that they're part of the education process. Now, some parents felt very overwhelmed by that and maybe had a different level of respect for teachers after the pandemic. But I think some parents took it as an opportunity to say, well, why not have me be a part of this system as well? So I think that, yeah, it's such a sweet story to say I'm going to create a new circumstance for my child. One thing that I think was interesting as a cross-section between two of the interviews were how they reacted to the question of, so what would you tell an aspiring teacher? And I laugh because I think Kirsten's was very positive and inspirational, and Meredith would very loudly said, run. And I know she was halfway kidding, but at the same time, I think she really wanted to drive home how hard it's been on teachers. But what were your thoughts in terms of that difference between the two? And in defense of Meredith, as I was getting to know her story, I can tell that she is an excellent teacher and has a really great attitude towards things. I think as extrapolating this to the situation of the States, I think what can happen is when you have a very good teacher and you don't provide an ecosystem where they can thrive. So when you either, every school has some challenges and you might need to move a teacher from one area to another. But I think when you move a teacher from one area to another and then you start depleting other resources like teachers' aides and hiring those folks differently and all of these other things that I think she was indicating. I think from what it seemed, Meredith was more upset of not the teaching aspect of it. In fact, it sounds like a really good relationship with her students, but I think it was just everything around the teaching, the drama of what was happening at the larger school. And yeah, so I feel like, I think what that speaks to is that perhaps in Meredith's case, there's a larger pressure that's happening on teachers that is just a real, real challenge for a lot of people. And I think that that might resonate with some teachers if they're dealing with challenges in their own districts themselves.
Right. And I think for both of them, as with many other interviews that we had already on Record of Change, I would say my respect and appreciation for people that somehow work in, I know education is not care work, but I would say it's somehow related. And it's something that people easily take for granted, especially in first world countries like we are now in. We take it for granted that we can send our kids to school, to kindergarten, to daycare, to clubs during the day, and they are in good hands. We take it for granted. And just once this system is somehow disturbed and the humans in the system come to the surface, only then we realize how fragile it is, because it's also based on humans. This is what I learned now from not only, but also from these two interviews, that, yeah, I try to take it with me that always see the human behind the system.
I think that speaks really well. And I do feel like for me, this episode hits close to home as someone who's been teaching through this time and seeing how it's impacted students, but also how it's impacted me along this way. I think you're accurate to say that it's if teaching wasn't care work before, it has become care work, where you have a much more integrated understanding of people's lives beyond the classroom. And that's even true with me as someone who's working at a university. So yeah, my heart goes out to all the teachers and trying to balance their lives and trying to be the best they can for their students.
Yes, much love to all the teachers out there.
So that was this episode of Record of Change.
The Record of Change team are Anhui Tran, Pratap Nair, Nimish Savant, Thomas Reintjes, my co-host Stephanie Rabel, and my name is Matthias Jochmann. Our theme music is Plasticity by Blue Dot Sessions. Follow us on social media, visit recordofchange.com, and most importantly, leave a review on your podcast app. Thank you, Stephanie. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys.